You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Today, we're going to talk about strategies on improving your blocking, defense, as well as passing, and specifically using the split step. I know there's a lot of people out there who's preaching the split step, and it's something that I've transitioned to teaching over the last few years, and I think there's extreme value to it. And ever since I started using it, working with the national team and seeing them use it, there's definitely a benefit, and I think I've officially transitioned over to now teaching it consistently versus teaching other movements that I was before. So I gotta tell you, it's seen a lot of results, and I wanna share those with you on today's episode. So this is an episode you don't wanna miss. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 203 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How's everyone doing out there today? Another week of volleyball in the books. Hello, everyone. My name is Coach Brian Singh, and I'm the host of the podcast. To all my new listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. And to my regular listeners, as always, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. And the goal, just like every week, is to deliver tangible, step-by-step strategies to get you to the next level, to see results in your gym. And I'm hoping that today we can do that. Now, strategies, you know, this episode is talking about strategies on improving block, defense, passing. And I really want to take it a step back, and I want to compare the traditional way of doing these things to now what is being practiced internationally and why we're seeing so much results with it. But before I do that, I just want to welcome all our new members into DVA. You probably heard last week, doors were open to Digital Volleyball Academy, which is my signature membership for volleyball coaches. It's a mentorship program that provides our coaches with the support, the training, and the resources to get to the next level. And we have an entire curriculum in place for DVA members where no matter where you are in your coaching journey, you can find yourself in that curriculum and know where you need to go to get to the next level. It's something that I'm super proud of. 4 years now we've been running the academy, and we've had thousands of coaches get results. So welcome to our new members. I appreciate you guys joining DVA. I can't wait to get a chance to know you and work with you a bit more. And if you missed out and you were not able to get on this opening for this time for DVA, go to digitalvolleyballacademy.com. There's a wait list. And if spots open up or the next time that I have a big enrollment, you'll be notified by email. Okay, so definitely do that. If you're a coach and you want to really try to take your coaching to the next level, I think this will definitely help. It's a mentorship program. It's not like another resource out there where you just get access to a library of videos. You know, it's coaching. It's community. You get access to all the courses, but we jump on coaching calls. It's an experience. It's a really cool experience. So yeah, that's that. So welcome, everyone, and hope you guys have a good time. And you can always reach out if you need me. Well, as you know, doing a lot of work with the national team, and I got a chance to, you know, just in general with other gyms. I've been around gyms for a long time, and I've been seeing the split step being used in other gyms, and I've seen coaches refuse to use it, and I've always been on the fence. I've always taught the split step depending, like, it was player dependent. That's the way that I used to teach it. Depending on the player, if I think it will help them, I'll teach it. If not, I'll let them be, and we'll just work other skills. Like, it wasn't a deciding factor in my gym. But I gotta tell you, over the last few years, I've been seeing more research and more high level ball and more really good players using the split step. And it's something that I think needs to be taught, and it needs to be taught from the young age so we can understand how to use it. And I want to talk about that. So let's talk about blocking. Let's start with blocking, okay? So the traditional way of teaching blocking is we start in an isometric position. Our hips are slightly bent. We are shoulder width apart. I've seen hands, like, depending on where you are. If you're a middle blocker, I've seen hands high. I've seen hands low. I've seen hands in the middle. That is dependent on player, dependent on coach. And then I see them in this loaded position. And they're in this. Now, the way that we used to teach it is we don't want you So when the ball is set, we don't want you to go down and out. So we're already in this loaded position. We don't want you to get more loaded and then explode to the pins. We want you to be in a loaded position and then go to the pins. That was the way we taught it, right? That's normal. But the problem is that it's an isometric position and it is very slow. And with the split step is a plyo movement. It's a plyo movement which will get you to the pins a lot faster. And here is how the split step is better than just the traditional isometric block sequence. So the way that, and the best explanation I heard was in the national team gym. This was fantastic. They said, well, Dan Lewis was like, it's the moment of weightlessness. There is a moment of weightlessness where you have that moment, that window, where you have to split step and you have to go to wherever you're going to go. It's a moment of weightlessness. It was perfect. The moment of weightlessness is the split step. So when, let's say blocking, for example, when the setter is about to release that ball, when the setter is just about to set it, that's when you're going to do your split step. And what the split step is going to allow you to do is it's a plyo movement. So it's going to allow you to get to the pins a lot faster. Now, a key component of the split step is to not go up and then down. One of the mistakes I commonly see with athletes when they're doing the split step is they do a little mini jump. Even this is not a jump, okay? So let's just start by saying a split step is not a jump. We are not jumping off the ground at all. What we are doing is imagine someone in an athletic position, okay? Imagine their head. Their head is not going to move up at all. It is going to move down only, and then they're going to go. So the split step is just a quick, it's a quick motion down. It's not an up down. It's a quick motion down where your feet just come off the ground slightly, but not upwards. We're not jumping. It's just off the ground slightly, that moment of weightlessness. Then when the setter releases, you read it and you go. You read it and you go. And it's really cool. And there's a middle blocker, famous middle blocker. His name is Saeed. He plays for the national team of Iran. One of the best middle blockers in the world. In fact, I heard a story where when Canada was playing Iran, this is years ago, the coach told their players, do not hit in the direction of him. If you do, you will get blocked. Like, he became that good where their game plan was to hit wherever he's not. And that's pretty cool. So I looked at this guy and I studied this guy. And he did a lot of interesting things with his hands and his hand movement when it comes to blocking. It's something that I'm not going to get into too much on this episode, but you should look up Saeed from Iran and look at his block technique. I guarantee you it's not something you're teaching in your gym, because he uses his hands and it's almost like a spike block, where his hands are coming back, not in the form of a spike, but his elbows. So imagine your hands are shoulder width apart, like you're going to block, right? So you're starting in your regular base position and you're going to block. Your hands are shoulder width apart. But instead of jumping straight up with your hands stay there, your elbows go back and they draw back. And then you propel forward. And he does this. And it's interesting because it gets him that momentum. So he adds that to his split step. And he's able to jump with the middle as well as with the pins and get out right away. It's really cool. So this is how we teach blocking. Is we want to have this moment of weightlessness, okay, this split step right before the setter is about to set the ball. And then as the setter releases, you then are on the ground and you're propelling to that direction. It will help you get out much faster. There'll never be a situation where you have to seal or you're late or anything like that. It's going to take time to practice, okay? So then I had a coach ask me, well, if we're propelling so fast in that direction, won't we be off balance when we're landing? And yeah, you probably will be. There's a very good point. You probably will be. So the safest way to make sure that you don't get injured or land on someone's leg or feet rather, or rolled an ankle, is when you're coming down, hitting shoulders is not a problem. And that's what you want. If you're going to collide, you want the shoulder to hit the shoulder and then you roll off their shoulder. And when you roll, so imagine drifting, okay? And then when you contact the shoulder of the pin blocker, if you're a middle blocker for argument's sake, Imagine when you contact the shoulder of the pin blocker, you turn outwards. Like you use that shoulder and bounce off that shoulder and turn outwards. And then you're not going to get injured. There's no rolling ankle. The problem is when we run into that player and we land right there. We don't want to land right there. We want to roll off their shoulder out so nobody gets injured. So that's a nice trick to when you are fast, you are out of control, because a lot of the patterns we used to teach earlier was be in an isometric position, wrap that outside foot around so you go straight up and straight down. And that's great. In a perfect world, when we're not trying to bolt to the pins, that's great. Like when you're out of system, no problem. You can take your time and get there, jump straight up, jump straight back, no problem. But when you're in system and you're trying to get to a ball, this is how you do it. And you just come down, roll off the shoulder, and then go. And you'll see. I've had no injuries with that so far, and neither has anyone that practices this. Okay? So that's a little bit of blocking. Hope that makes sense. We're not going up, we're going down, and we're going to a direction, and you wait till the setter releases and you go from there. Okay? Now let's talk about defense. Well, yes, split stepping is extremely important on defense as well. And we want to, you know, one of the things about defense is we want to be relaxed, okay? You have to be in a relaxed state. You can't be in a tense state, because when you're in a tense state, you are slower to move to the ball. And think about it, coaches, like if you're in a tense state, so imagine you're on defense and imagine you're really low to the ground, you're in an isometric position. Even if you're not low to the ground, your ability to move when you're tight is going to be way slower than your ability to move when you're relaxed. So one of the things about defense is we want to be calm. We want to have a calm nervous system. We don't want to be, our muscles should not be tensed. And one of the things that athlete, now this is going to be different depending on the athletes. So this is, I kind of changed the way I taught this too. I used to teach extremely wide on defense, because the reality is if you are wide, and this is not service receive, by the way, this is defense. If you are wide on defense, you can cover more area. You can cover, you know, you can cover weight, because by default, you can grab more court space. You cover more court space. But the problem is what happens if there's a tip? What happens if you have to run to a ball? Now you're in a very, very, very isometric state. You are going to be slow. You're not going to be able to run to any ball at all. So that's a factor that we have to contribute to that. We have to factor that in. So you have to find what works for each athlete. Now you don't want to be shoulder width apart. You don't want to be too short, because then what's going to happen is if you do this, coaches, like, I mean, if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're shoulder width apart on defense, and you try to rotate your hips to turn to get to a ball, you're going to be unbalanced. And we have to be balanced. You want to be as balanced as possible when you're playing defense. So you have to find, you don't want to be too wide, but you don't want to be too narrow. You have to find what works for you. So you have your athletes find a good area where they can still split step and be athletic and get and shoot forward, shoot back. The best analogy I heard was in the national team gym, where they compared it to fencing. Fencing, look at that. So anyone knows what fencing is, fencing's where you shoot forward, right? You're quick. You're in a state of calm and you shoot forward. So defense, same thing. You're shooting in a direction, but you have to find that area between, you know, your width from your legs, where is comfortable for you. And that's how you're able to shoot in directions. Now, in terms of split stepping, we want to make sure that we are split stepping right before contact. So same thing, right before contact, we move down, not up down, we move down, therefore we can go in the direction, okay? And this is probably a little off topic here, but one thing that is really important when you're playing defense, and at the higher level you go, the more you're gonna see this be relevant. But if you create a good platform, like let's say you have a really, really good platform, and it's strong, it's sturdy, it's flat, it's beautiful, and you dig a ball, okay? Normally the velocity on that ball is so much that when it contacts your hand, that the energy that that ball has is gonna ricochet off your hand and fly out, fly over, fly somewhere where you're not gonna be able to get a contact. So what we wanna do is, you wanna, like, remember that relaxed state that we're in? Our elbows naturally will be relaxed. So when you're in a state of, like, let gravity do the work. So when you're in that position, gravity will bring your arms down, but they won't lock out. because you have to actually bring your thumbs in to lock out your platform. So don't allow yourself to lock out. Just allow yourself to be whatever gravity is doing for you, then bring your hands together and then get behind the ball. And when it hits your platform, that should absorb, right? Because your shoulders are what's going to absorb it. When you have a bent elbow, your shoulders are going to absorb and your bicep is going to absorb it. Your shoulders and bicep will absorb that speed and then you'll get to pop it up. So we don't want a big space. I'm not saying you have a big space between your platform. Like, have a platform, but you should have a little bit of bent elbow and don't think about bending your elbow. Like, that's the key. Let gravity do its work and just have your arms naturally down and the elbows will naturally be bent. And then you can decide how you want to go from there. And then just, again, you'll dig. Like the scoop, like digging is like, think about digging where it comes from. You're digging into the ground and you're popping the shovel up. Digging into the ground, taking the shovel and then popping the dirt over your shoulder or to the side. Well, that's how your elbows are, that digging motion. So you want to make it really simple like that, okay? So yeah, so your stance, you don't want to be too wide. You don't want to be too short because then you can't move your hips. You'll be off balance. You want to find your spacing. Okay, you want to be in a relaxed state. And same thing with passing, by the way. So we split step with passing as well, right? We talked about that before. Split step with passing right before contact on the serve. And same thing with passing. You want to be in a relaxed state because you won't be able to move if you're in a tense state. Relaxed. This one you can do shoulder width apart because we're more focused on angles, and we're gonna track the ball and all that stuff. But you still want to split. You want to split so you can move quickly in a direction, and be there after you make that read. And that's why split stepping is so important. That's why it's practiced in tennis, because the game is so fast that you don't move until contact is made, right? Typically you're not gonna move until contact is made. Yes. Can you see the angle of approach and all that stuff so you can position yourself? Yes, absolutely. But you're not going to move until contact is made. And if they tip, if they do something weird with the ball, you have to be able to propel in a direction by using the split step. That split step gives you that plyo movement. So the key here is you want to move away from isometric movements and you want to go towards plyometric movements because the plyo gives you that speed. It propels you into a direction to get the ball. Okay, so let me just do a little quick recap here. Again, shorter episode, not too long. The last two episodes have been really short, just because I want these quick tips. I want to make sure that they're good and they're clear and they're understood, and you can do stuff with them. And just some of the things that like let me, before I do a recap, like back to defense. You know, if you're too narrow, okay, like this is a really good way to teach your athletes. Is the when you know you're in the right stance is when your weight is going to be on the balls of your foot. And when you play defense, you want your knees slightly over your toes, like just slightly over, not to the side, okay, slightly over your toes. And when they get slightly over your toes, the weight is going to be on the balls of your feet, because that's where you want the weight to be when you're playing defense. You don't want it to be on your heels and you don't want it to be on your toes, because you're going to go backward or forward. Balls of your feet are perfect. And if you have your knees over your toes, you should be able to get that. So that's a little cue too to figure out, you know, when they get their right stance and when they have that, how well can they move in either direction? Okay. So quick recap here. Traditional blocking is from an isometric position where you're loaded, you wait till the setter goes, and then you go. Plyometric or split stepping allows you that moment of weightlessness right before the setter sets the ball. And then you propel in a direction. You'll be so much faster because you can propel upwards. You can propel sideways. It really is. It's up to you. And this will help you protect the middle of the court as well as get out to the pins fast enough. Okay. One thing about blocking is make sure you are focusing on your priority. So whoever your priority attacker is, that is your main focus first. And then you can help. So let's say you're on the left side. You're on the left side and you're blocking the opposite. The opposite is your first priority, but the minute that set comes out of the setter's hand and is not going to the opposite, you're helping with the middle. If this is your block defense structure, but the plyo allows you to be able to help with the middle and be good enough to get your hands above the net and then come back and be ready to swing. So that plyo movement is really important. Okay, so block, we're gonna go split step, moment of weightlessness. Remember that. Defense, I talked about it, relaxed state. Even with blocking, you want to be in a relaxed state so you can move. Everything, you want to be in a relaxed state, now that I think about it. Relaxed state, because the more tense you are, the slower you're going to be. Split before contact on defense, find your spacing, and again, not too wide, not too bad, and not too short. And then with passing, again, same thing, okay? Be relaxed, split before contact on serve, and then go, and then you're good to go, okay? But remember with the split, okay? You're not moving up. Imagine your head. Your head is only moving down. It is not moving up, because if it's moving up, right, then you're getting energy. You're getting too much energy into the ground. We're not trying to drive energy into the ground. We're trying to propel ourselves outwards, laterally, or up, but not down. So you're going to slowly come, you're going to, not slowly, but your head's going to just come down, shooting out to a direction. That's how you want the split step to be. And that will be a good cue to see if your athletes are jumping right. Because if they're jumping, then your head's going to go up, and that's not the split step. The split step is not jumping. The split step is splitting your feet quickly to then move to and propel to a direction. And that means your head is going to be going down, okay? All right, I hope this makes sense. Here's a little another quick one for you. Don't worry, I'll start bringing back the 30-minute episodes. I just wanted to get these quick points out. Very simple, very tangible. You can go to your gym, you can apply it, you can practice it, and hopefully you start seeing the results. Because it is, there's no doubt about it. We're getting a ton of results using the split step on all three of these actions. And it's amazing to see these athletes and how much they're growing with it. Okay? All right. If you would like to sign up for that wait list, or you want to get more information about DVA, digitalvolleyballacademy.com. And I'll definitely reach out if you have any questions. And for our new members, welcome to DVA. There's a ton of stuff to go through. Take your time. Okay, there's a lot of information in there, but it's so worth it. So take your time, find out where you need to be on the success path, and then take the next steps to get to where you want to be. All right, that's it for me. I'll see you guys next week on another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. Take care.
All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.